Hey everybody, this is Dominique, and if you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Today on the program, we have a medical sales leader that is going to reveal the formula for cracking into the top 10% of medical sales. You won't want to miss it.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey, everybody. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management and host of this podcast, Experiencing Financial Contentment, where we're helping you to do more with your life and your money, all around financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. And as you can see, I have a very special guest on the program today. And this is just kind of weird. Of all places, we met on LinkedIn. So hoorah for social media. And got to talking to this young man and had shared a meal with him when I was in Indianapolis. And his faith and his values just really deepened the relationship. And so I want to introduce to everybody today, Mr. Jason Elmore. Hey, how you doing today, Jason? Good morning.
Good morning, Dominic. Good to see you.
Well, good, man. I appreciate you spending some time with us today, man. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Yep, my pleasure as well. Good to see you.
Well, tell us a little bit, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into medical sales and a little bit about your resume, your brag book, if you will.
Yeah, no, I think I have a pretty typical story. Coming out of college, ended up working for Cintas Uniforms, learning how to do B2B, getting a really good sales process, getting some really good training in their management program as well. Did well there and just had somebody come along and say, hey, I see what you can do. I see what you're about. You should consider going into pharmaceutical sales. It's wow. A salary, right? It's a base. It's a company car. It's got great benefits.
Yeah.
Stop calling on grease monkeys and those type of things, get into this more professional environment of physicians. And that sounded really good to a 20 something year old kid. So got there, I did really well. And again, somebody came along and said, hey, I see what you're about, what you can do. You know what? There's a lot of money over here on the med device side. You should try to get into that. And so that became a 5-year ordeal trying to pursue and break into med device. Very typical, right? Associate position, sub rep position, perform, do well, impress. And somebody will give you a chance to, you know, have your own territory and do your own thing. So my opportunity came with a headhunter. I had been trying to get in med device, got a call about this little startup company, $20 million, nothing. But it was perfect in that what I believe is God-given experience.
Wow. Okay.
And what I mean by that is when God gives David his Goliath, before that, he gave David his lion and his bear.
Yeah.
Right? When you listen to the story of Joseph, long before he became ruler of all Egypt, he cut his teeth at Potiphar's house, right? And then he got a promotion to run a jail.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he learned a lot of skills. He learned a lot of things on the way up. The journey was as important as the end result. I'd go on and on, different experiences. But for me, it was interesting. I get this call from this recruiter, and he says, hey, there's this little startup company. They've got a balloon that moves bone. It's calling on ENT, and everything they do is with the scope. Mm. Well, if you'd looked at my resume prior to that, in pharmaceuticals, I sold antihistamines and antibiotics to ENT surgeons.
Okay.
Then I went to sports medicine where we did shoulders and knees, everything under the arthroscope. Then I went to a company called Kyphon, which had a balloon that went into the spine and moved bone. So I already had scopes.
Yeah.
I already had ENT. I already had a balloon that moved bone. And now I was asked to put all of that together into one company. And so it should have been no surprise that opportunity went absolutely ballistic. Rookie of the year, rep of the year. Went on to jump into management, went on to jump into sales training, went international. But you almost could have predicted it from a providential, you know, a God thing. Yeah. You could have said, well, yeah, you know, of course he's going to knock out Goliath. Yeah. You see what he did to the bear and to the lion?
You had that.
So when people call and they say, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about a job. What do you think? Should I look at this? Should I look at that? The first conversation we have is, tell me what God has put in your past. How has God prepared you for the next thing? A lot of people are familiar with the verses that say God will never give you more than you can bear.
Yeah.
Those type of things. But if you read the scriptures closely, you find out that God is also very faithful to give you experiences leading up to this next thing he has for you.
Yeah.
So that was my story. He just kept giving me the next thing and the next thing. And I appreciate that very much.
Well, that's cool, man. It's obvious that just from talking to you, and I know this from behind the scenes because we've kind of cultivated a relationship over the months, is that you ooze like faith and family, which is great. I just love that. And it's obvious that you've allowed that to kind of guide your success, which I can just really appreciate. It's rare nowadays, and that's the reason why I think I can appreciate it as much. But when we're talking about like a formula for cracking into top 10% of medical sales, I want you to kind of break into this book that you've got, this Elite Execution. I got it. When we first met, I was like, let me look at this. Let me see what's going on. You know, I actually target, when we'll talk about that in a little bit, I target a lot of medical sales professionals in my business. And like, why write a book like that? Obviously you've got the background, you've got the resume. But I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's plenty of sales guru books out there and things like that. Why write this one? What were you trying to communicate to your audience?
Yeah, great question. So in the course of my career, I ended up in a sales training role, and every 6 weeks, 15 to 20 new med device salespeople from all of med device with various tenures, some had 2 years experience, some had 15 years experience, would end up in my class. And we would put them through a series of 10 role plays in the course of the 2 week training. And I was stunned by what I saw because it became a little laboratory, right? I was seeing 150 to 200 sales calls in a 4 day period. And in that laboratory environment, things began to jump off the page. I began to see trends. I began to see what worked and what didn't work, no matter their style, no matter, you know, male, female, didn't matter. There were some obvious trends of things that worked, didn't work, things that frankly I had taken for granted in my career that had worked for me that I wasn't seeing in certain other people. And luckily I picked up some things that people were doing that I said, okay, that really works. My other part of that job was every year I would go into the field and I would ride with our top 10 salespeople. All the people from the President's Club trip, I would go for 3 days and I would do nothing but observe and take notes and see what was working and why. So that I came away with this understanding, and I talk about this in the book. My definition of a professional is this. Everybody can tell you what happened, but a professional can tell you why. Mm. They understand it so well that they can manipulate the variables, okay? Do this, not that. Take control of this. Don't do that. You know, they understand the call process so that they can manipulate it. And if they can, then chances are they've figured some things out and they can replicate that same activity. That's how well they understand it. And then if they can replicate it, the key is, can you articulate it? Mm-hmm. That's where most people fall down. There's somebody who's every year, man, they're just hitting the top 10. They're hitting the top 10. And you go to them, you say, so give me 3 reasons why you're being so successful. And you get crickets or you get humble pie or, you know, they just can't articulate it. And so they can't transfer it.
Okay.
And so this is what happened. Literally, I would invite the top salespeople to come to my sales training class. The new hires wanted more than anything to hear from a rep who had been on the President's Club the previous year.
Yeah.
Tell me what to do. Tell me how to win. Because people sincerely want to win.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what to win. Tell me what to do. And routinely I would reach out to these folks. I would invite them to come, be the special speaker, share their insights. And I would ask them, so tell me, what are the 3 things that are making you successful? And I would routinely get a bad answer or no answer. And I would literally say, look, by the end of the day, I need 3 short paragraphs in an email explaining what's making you so successful, or I am going to resend this invitation.
Okay.
Well, I would challenge all of your listeners, do it.
Yeah.
Write it down. Yeah. Can you write it down?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. I began to write these things down that they weren't even complete sentences. Sometimes they were one word phrases or, captions that kind of captured the idea. And I got it to the point where I had it down on paper. It was called Rules for Winners. And if you came into my class, I would literally tell you, if you do these things, I can guarantee you 20% more. Whatever you are going to do, I can guarantee you more if you do these things.
Okay.
And once you can write it down, once you can articulate it, now you can transfer it. And that's what people want. And that became a book. Now, in med device, there are very few sales books specific to med device. Yeah. This one is. The other thing I will say is, and I'm pretty honest in the beginning of the book, this is not for new hires. This is not for brand new salespeople, is what I should say. This assumes that you've read several other sales books. This assumes that you have a sales process or a sales methodology that you're already familiar with. In fact, as I do my consulting work for these other med device companies, I'm not coming in wiping out the challenger sale. I'm not coming in wiping out spin selling. I'm not coming in wiping out any other of these methodologies they've adopted. Those are important. Those are more strategic. This is more tactical in nature. This is, frankly, this is the steroids. This is the shot in the arm for all those things. So that's why companies like it, is they don't have to change their process. They don't have to change their methodology. But this is the piece that takes their bell curve core 60% and can transform them into that top 10%. This is what's going to get you over the hump. So what's going to get you over the line and get you onto that Presence Club trip.
So after you have a foundation, you're kind of like, with this, you're almost kind of pouring the gravy, if you will.
Well, some of these extra skills that we're talking about are higher level skills. They're advanced skills. They assume that you know how to build rapport. They assume that you've got self-awareness. They assume that you already have commercial conversations that are driving and persuading to an end goal. I'm always surprised. I get in the field quite a bit, and we hire really smart people. We hire people who are very gregarious, or we hire people who are very conscientious and are good with people. That is not a commercial conversation. I'll give you an example. I was in the field a couple weeks ago. We did a trial with a certain device, and the doctor used it. Thing went very well. We get in the car, and she said, "So what do you think?" And I said, "Well, what was your objective?"
Good question.
Uh-oh. The trial went really well. That they used the piece of equipment, it went well, but we didn't close for any business. We didn't have. In fact, the worst part was there wasn't a clear agreement that if this goes well, you're going to buy it, take the next step, do the next. There was no commitment up front. There was a, "Hey, you want to try it?" And he said, "Yeah." It was a free trial. And guess what? I told her, I said, he's going to call you again, probably for 3 more. He's going to get it for free 3 more times because you're not driving a commercial conversation. You're not asking for commitment. So there are a few things that are assumed up front. These are advanced skills that take, people to that next level.
Okay. So you talked about, like we were talking about this the other day, and this is great. I really appreciate it, as we're talking about the formula for cracking into the top 10% of medical sales. Some themes about that message, and you don't have to go real into it because I want people to get the book. We'll set up a link for them to get to your website and get the book. But there is these themes that you talked about the other day when we were having a conversation that you were saying about what you need to be and what you need to think about, or what you need to do and what you need to be and what you need to think about. Because when you're thinking about this professional that, the difference between just not knowing what, but knowing why, can you kind of break that down a little bit more? Because I think that's a very intriguing idea there.
Yeah. One of the central premises of the book, one of the assumptions is there are things you have to know. There are things you have to do. And then there are things that you have to be. You mentioned it at the beginning of this recording, faith, right? I don't I don't really believe people can compartmentalize as much as they think they can. I don't think you can have things falling apart at home. I don't think your marriage apart. I don't think your finances can be falling apart. I don't think there's certain things about you that can be falling apart and you still perform at a high level. Mm. I think we see celebrities tank all the time, yeah. Right? They finally, this thing that they thought they were compartmentalizing catches up to them. Well, it's the same in any walk of life. I think you're a whole person. You can only compartmentalize so much. And what I see more often than not, our top performers are not only getting it done at work, they're getting it done as a husband. Mm. They're getting it done as a parent. They're getting it done as somebody on the school board. They're supporting their church. They're an elder. They're a deacon. They're a Sunday school teacher. They're contributing in other ways. They're coaching their kids, and they excel in any number of ways. I joke all the time, right? We have 9 kids, and people say, 9 kids, holy cow.
I will admit, when you told me that, I was like, what are you trying to do, raise a basketball team? Or?
Well, no, I'm just overachieving in another category, right? I mean, come on. It's funny. People say, oh, I love kids. And I say, really, how many do you have? You know, but only jokingly and very facetiously, you know, everybody wants – more money, and everybody wants more house, and everybody wants more recognition and more titles. And I just took it into another area of my life, and I said, I want more kids.
Yeah.
And that's good, but, man. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over the earth. And we thought
you're
that
doing
was
that, man. Hey, you're winning.
It took them up on it. Well, the crazy thing is, nobody tells you this when you're young. They don't say, hey, have a bunch of kids. It'll be the funnest thing you've ever done. You'll be so glad you did. Yeah. Nobody tells you that. But if you've had the pleasure of having more than 4 or 5, you quickly realize it is the best thing.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I love that.
To your point, right, what we were saying is, know things, do things. You got to have insights. Mm-hmm. You got to have disciplines. And out of those insights and disciplines, out of those habits, you will become something. You will become something.
I like that. Yeah.
I tell my kids all the time, when you get to that point, you're ready to marry somebody you admire, because you're going to become like them. Whoever this other person is, you're going to be attached to this person in this whole new way, and you're going to become like them. I would say the same thing for your career. Be careful who you associate with, be careful the company and the opportunities you take and the people you work with and the people you work for. Try as much as you as possibly can to admire the people you work for and you work with, because you're going to become like them. There's just no two ways about it. You can't compartmentalize as much as you think. So when we get to that point of things to be, you've done well, gained some insights. You now have experience. You now have some know-how. You've gained the discipline that it takes to perform at a very high level. There are things you will do. There are things you won't do. Your capacity for work is extremely high.
Yeah.
Your drive is high. You know where to put the energy. You've learned how to manage your time in new ways that, frankly, people who don't crack the 10% just don't understand. And it's made you into something. And that's where we get to this thing where there are things to be.
Okay.
It takes a long time to build a reputation. It's quickly lost.
Yeah.
You show up at sales meetings, there's a way to be. When people come out in the field and they ride with you, right? Because if you're really good, somebody's going to say, hey, I'm going to do a new hire. Hey, be part of our field sales trainer program. And we want to send people to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in the course of a 2 or 3 day field ride, you're going to answer, 1,000 questions?
Imagine. Yeah.
Maybe. And pretty quickly, people are going to figure out who you really are. And this is where this being thing comes into, they want to know what to do. They want your advice. They want coaching. They want some insights. But in the course of 3 days, they're going to figure you out. And they're either going to admire you or disdain you. Mm. They're going to either want to be like you, or they're going to conclude that the way you succeed is not the way they're going to succeed. They don't want to succeed the way you succeed.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're headed with this things to be.
Okay.
And more to your point, and more to the point of the, what connected us was one of the things that I talk about. There's a chapter in the book on finances, right?
Okay.
Frankly, you can't really tap into your full potential. You can't be as successful as you'd like to be if your finances aren't in line. If being means being in debt, I got news for you. You're going to be very limited in your career path and your ability to get some of the other insights you need and some of the experience you need.
Well, let me ask you this. So, because a lot of people in your industry make a lot of money. And so kind of illuminate to us that bifurcation between chasing the money, but then being this person that, like you're saying, when you're fully rounded and you're self-aware, that becomes attracted, or that it attracts itself to you automatically, so you don't have to chase it, and you end up getting some of the options that were thrown your way. Like, it, maybe you can unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's back up a quick second. When I got that great call from that recruiter and I took that great job at that little bitty company, that was a little startup company that ended up selling for close to $900 million several years later. I did very well there, but God was showing us as a family some really hard lessons and started opening some scriptures to our eyes that we had missed before, that we were like, "Ooh, where'd that come from? I never saw that before," with regards to debt.
Okay.
And so he put us in a crisis situation, which is very common. You know, you have a crisis and God teaches you something, and we decided to get out of debt, completely out of debt. Mm. What became a solution to a crisis, getting out of debt, actually later turned out in hindsight to be the key to true success. Mm. 2 years later, after we got out of debt, 2 years later, my company came to me and said, "You know, we'd like you to take this opportunity." Well, my house hadn't sold yet. I had a house on the market. It hadn't sold. It was the 2010, 2008, 2009 situation.
Rough market still, yeah.
The market was in a mess. I had a promotional opportunity, and it required a relocation. Mm. Well, my house was paid off, so I took that opportunity. Then I took another promotion, which required another relocation. The house still hadn't sold. I went 2 years without selling my home. Because it was paid off, took two promotions, and those two promotions later became critical to my success and my further success in the writing of this book and the consulting that I now get to do and the dream job that I get to chase. But if I'm in debt.
Pause right there. So that's a lot. But the takeaway to me is you heard God, you followed his instruction, and that paid off dividends over and over later, basically.
True. Yeah. That's exactly right. But you and I both know quite a few people who are held back from doing things that they want to do, they should do, or opportunities they'd love to take, but they can't because financially they're not in a position to do so.
Wow.
I was that guy. There was a time in my life when I wasn't financially positioned to take advantage of certain opportunities that came my way. So the other thing that's really important, especially in med device, right? Med device specifically, if you are that individual, if you're that man or that woman who's tapping on the door to the top 10%, you're making a pretty good buck.
Yeah.
You're making a pretty good buck. So in our business, we tend to make more than the people we work for. In fact, there were two years in my particular career where I made more than the vice president of sales. Mm. That's not terribly uncommon that to take a promotion in our business usually means to take a pay cut. And so some people, you know, just weigh those options and they're just built a certain way and they would just say, "Hey, look, I'm just going to stay in the field and take the money." But if you honestly want to take the ride and you want to go get certain experiences and you want to learn certain things and you want to sit in a chair that has a much different perspective. And that's what management is. That's what some of the director level leadership is you get a chance to look at business from a whole different perspective. You're at a higher level. You're going to get to see the business a different way. It's going to serve you for the rest of your career. Most recently, I went into startup, pure startup. I got back into a startup role. All those lessons that I learned from management and sales director, I took into a new startup company role. Let go of that company for a couple $100 million. And, you know, now I'm building a brand as somebody who knows how to make a lot of people a lot of money in startup. But it was being out of debt. It was being able to take a couple new roles that matured me, that gave me critical experience, that got me some critical skills that I now have taken back into startup and given me a much more lucrative opportunity. If financially you're all tied up in knots, and you can't afford to take that pay cut that's probably going to come with that promotion in our business, I hate to say it, but this is career limiting in a big, big way.
Wow. So we're talking to Jason Elmore, medical sales leader, author of Elite Execution. Got to go get the book, guys. If you're in medical sales, if you're a veteran or if you're a rookie, I think it's a good read for you. We're going over this formula for cracking into the top 10%. And so we kind of covered this a little bit, but I talk to a lot of your colleagues day in and day out. And I always, you know, we always come across the subject of the value of advice. And so specifically financial advice, what would you say or would you mind sharing? What was your worst and best financial decision?
Oh,
that's actually a two-part question. What was the worst one, and then what was the best one?
Worst one. After the 2007-2008 crisis, I became very leery of the stock market. If
most
you were around at that time,
okay.
And
Dave
Ramsey was out there running around the country. I think he hosted a national teleconference encouraging everybody not to get out of the market. It's going to rebound. And I did not take his advice. I got out of the market.
Most people do. That's okay, man.
I bought a physical asset that the week I bought it, it hit its all-time high, like high in the past 200 years.
Oh, man.
So I got quite deep into that, only to watch it plummet. It has done nothing but fall ever since. And right now it's about 40% less than when I bought it. So, yeah, that'd be a terrible, terrible investment.
Wow. Ouch. Yeah. And I would assume, like most people, that do things like that, because I've heard the gamut in 20 years of doing this, but you probably just held on thinking that it was going to come back and you didn't do anything else. Was that kind of the story?
Well, you know, you and I've had this conversation. I appreciate your insight and your advice very much. It's like, you know, it's like anytime you talk to a true professional, you're absolutely right. What happened is, you know, when you make a bad decision, you get emotionally tied to that bad decision.
Yeah.
And in investing, it's not truly a loss until you sell it, right? So you just ride it on down, rather than admitting your mistake, taking your hit, swallowing the loss. I sat on it for quite a while, convincing myself that it's not a mistake until I sell it.
Yeah.
But you know, you're very good about this, right? You give me good advice. It's so important not to get so emotionally attached to our own bad decisions.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to take credit for the great decisions that we make, but we don't want to take responsibility for the bad ones we make.
Yeah.
We need a professional who's a little less emotionally attached to those decisions to help us out.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. So would that fall into the category of your best financial advice or best financial decision? Or what is
no, my best financial decision comes from the book of Proverbs. It says an inheritance comes from the fathers. You know, lands and inheritance comes from the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
My best financial decision was marrying Ginger.
There you go. Shout out to Ginger.
Hey, right. Now, listen, truth be told, she is she's a full-time mom. She's a stay-at-home mother.
Well, you have to with 9 kids, right?
Well, yeah. But graduating college, this was the woman that was most likely to succeed.
Wow.
If you understand her job, you would understand that she's more like a CEO than anything.
Yeah.
And the way she manages to make my money go far, there's no replacement. I mean, you can either find a way to make more money, or you can put your money in the hands of a trusted spouse who knows how to make money go far, and you'd be amazed at what happens. But the other thing is, you know, the ability to trust in your spouse is the key to sleeping well at night. And I think that's what financial security is. It's the ability to sleep well at night.
Yeah.
And if you're very fortunate to know true love and be tied to somebody you admire and somebody who's very good with money, that's not too bad.
No, that sounds like a good life, man. Sounds like a good life. So we're winding up. So how can people get a hold to you and the book? I got the website up. Is that the best way to do it? It's on Amazon, I would imagine.
Yeah, but Amazon takes 40%.
Okay,
so please go to the
directly to that website below www.eliteexecutionsales.com. And what are you into right now? What are you doing? So you're handling your full-time gig and you're doing a little consulting on the side. Like what is life like for Jason Elmore look like right now?
Yeah, so our little startup just got acquired, and so now I'm working for the acquisition company as the director of sales learning development.
Okay.
At the same time, the book is on the market, consulting companies. So as long as there's not a conflict of interest, I have the opportunity to meet with other companies and help their sales forces take their company to the next level.
Wow.
So it's fun. It's great. It's a dream job.
I mean, you wouldn't have been able to do that unless all the stuff that we just talked about for the last half an hour took place. You wouldn't have that skill set, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's cool. So do you do one-on-one coaching? If somebody was listening to this and they were like, hey, I really like to reach out to them. Obviously, you're on LinkedIn. They can send you a connection request. But do you do any one-on-one coaching, or is it pretty much group setting, or how does that work?
Right now, it's usually group setting. I do region meetings. Different companies are looking for different things. But I do field quite a few calls from the field, people who purchased the book and want to chit chat and talk it over. And there's people who actually want to dig deeper into topic. And those are very enjoyable. Love to see people succeeding and excelling.
Cool. Well, great stuff, man. I really, again, appreciate you taking a little time on a Saturday of all things, because you got 9 kids. And we heard him in the background a little bit, but it's all good, man. You know, I got 3 over here myself, but I wasn't fruitful in multiplying.
I'm with you. I was at a track meet last night. I'm with you. I got track stars. How's your jumper doing?
Oh, she got first in state. Not the best jumper of her career, but we'll take it. We'll take it. So
right on.
Track season is over, and now we're headed to summer track. Hopefully.
Okay.
We'll see how
right
that
on.
Goes. Yeah. But great stuff, Jason Elmore. Thank you for being with us today on Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast, man, and we wish you luck and success. And of course, we'll be talking in the future.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you.